back to the Aaron Coker Show. AM 60 KPAM.
Welcome back to the Aaron Coker Show here on AM 860 KPAM. I'm really excited, guys, to hear what Ann Chapman has to say about bankruptcies. That's a very interesting law, I guess, is the easiest way to put it.
Well, there are all kinds of bankruptcies, too. You think there's just one way to go broke? No, there's not. There are a whole bunch of different ways to do that. Also, it depends on whether or not it's a business bankruptcy or a personal bankruptcy, and Ann can help us sort all that out in just a few minutes.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I just want to remind you, if you're looking to basically build a confident retirement, if you want to come to our seminar on April 9th, feel free to give us a call right now and RSVP. We will get an invitation out to you. Great insight from Patrick Schmidt on retirement planning. Also, we're going to give you an update on the Portland real estate markets, what to look forward to throughout the year, where we were, how we got to where we are, and where we're going in the future. So go ahead and give us a call at 503-683-2122. Again, to RSVP for that April 9th event, 503-683-2122. And I think last week, Patrick, you mentioned there will be drinks there as well.
That is what we've been led to believe.
Are you thinking? I hope there's no open bar or something.
Hey, it's not.
I think we want to have some degree of seriousness at this event. Do we not?
It'll be professional.
Yeah, so.
No exclusive audio. Right. Unless we can work something. we'll try to work something.
Well,
out.
No exclusive.
So again, if you want to RSVP to that event on April 9th, no obligation, no cost to you. Great information. Just go ahead and give us a call now at 503-683-2122. That's 503-683-2122.
All right, about that time.
All right.
Time for Stump Aaron and Stump Patrick, our weekly trivia segment. Also, our favorite time of the week. We've kind of decided, or decided anyway, I guess. Here's what's going on. Sheryl Sandberg, the chief operating officer of Facebook, is leading an effort to ban the word bossy.
Opponents say the word is used to cut down girls who are trying to lead. And it's not the only word that's trouble.
Pushy. Stubborn.
Stubborn.
Pushy.
Pushy.
Stubborn.
Stubborn.
Bossy.
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 Stubborn.
Pushy.
Know-it-all.
Aggressive.
Bossy.
Sandberg joined in her Ban Bossy campaign by celebrities like Beyonce and Jennifer Garner and by organizations like the Girl Scouts. So our trivia topic today is forbidden language. And Aaron, I think you're up first, so here we go. In 1883, the U.S. government temporarily banned the use of this word in official reports, saying it was more likely to cause panic than to properly inform the public. Was this word Aaron, resurrection, riot, tornado, or Oprah? Which of those words was it?
18, right?
Well, yeah, it's just been here for a long time. What do you think?
Riot.
No. Patrick, was it insurrection, tornado, or Oprah? Which of those three?
Insurrection.
That'd be tornado.
Actually, it was tornado.
Yes!
The ban on the use of the word tornado in official forecasts was lifted and reinstated at various times of the years. The U.S. government lifted the ban for good in 1938, but didn't start using official tornado warnings until 1952. We have this exclusive audio, not only that, vintage audio of a report from a Midwestern tornado in progress when the word tornado wasn't allowed to be used.
Reporting live from Kansas during this incident, entire communities are being destroyed and whole populations are rushing for safety. Federal officials report that the biggest cause for danger and worry is sugary soft drinks. And entire homes being lifted from their foundations and crashing to the ground. There's that.
Exclusive audio.
No, all right.
Patrick, close to home, a city official in Seattle was widely ridiculed when he recommended that the city stop using a term he felt was racially insensitive. Was this term brown bag, black olive, white onion, or yellow mustard? Which of those was it, Patrick?
Let's say brown bag.
Yes! Ooh,
well done. That's Elliot weird. Bronstein of Seattle's Office for Civil Rights says the term brown bag has an unfortunate history.
A brown bag was actually used, I understand, to determine if people's skin color was light enough to allow admission to an event or to come into a party that was being held in the prom. It was just one of those things that was used back in the past.
All right, Aaron, in 2008, activists from an island in Greece tried to ban the use of a word they felt portrayed their home in a negative light. Was this word lesbian, unibrow, WOG? Now, WOG is W-O-G. It's a negative European term for cheap labor or workers of the government. Or was the word Cyprian? Which of those words was it, Aaron?
WOG.
No!
Patrick, was it lesbian, unibrow, or Cyprian?
I'm going to have to go with unibrow.
No!
Actually, it was lesbian.
Yes!
The effort by activists from the Greek island Lesbos to ban the use of the word lesbian by a Greek gay rights organization was unsuccessful. For many years, lesbian was a reference to an inhabitant of Lesbos. It was only in the late 19th century that the term began to be used to refer to a gay woman. All right, Patrick, in 2012, the New York Department of Education prepared a list of 50 words it wanted to ban from standardized tests. The department said the bans were suggestions only, and the reason they wanted to keep them off tests ranged from cultural insensitivity to religious exclusion. Which of the following words, Patrick, was not on the list? Not on the list. Was it dumber, poverty, divorce, or butthead? Which of those words was not on the list?
Let's say poverty.
No!
What year?
This was 2012. Aaron, was it dinosaur, divorce, or butthead?
Oh, this is a tough one, Rod. Mm-hmm. Butthead.
Yes!
That's right. The other words were all banned. The words were banned for a number of reasons. Dinosaur, for example, was considered offensive to students who may not believe in the theory of evolution. So exclusive audio, an interview with a dinosaur for his thoughts on the issue. Rick, the Velociraptor, to get his thoughts on the use of the word dinosaur in New York City public schools. First, Mr. Velociraptor, let's get this out of the way. Are you carnivorous? I take it that's a yes. All right. All right, one more. Patrick, just last year, the Associated Press announced it would ban the use of a term that editors felt unfairly labeled some Americans. What is the supposedly derogatory term that the AP says reporters can no longer use? Patrick, is it welfare mom, illegal immigrant, ex-con, or Kim Kardashian? Which of those is?
Let's say illegal immigrant.
Yes!
Oh, there you go.
That
oh,
is
boy.
Correct, Patrick. Hey. Well done. So, exclusive audio to finish up things here. We have an illegal immigrant commenting on the AP's decision not to allow the use of that term.
I am not an illegal immigrant. I am Zord from the planet Zolter, here to destroy this worthless world. Hang on. My world-destroying weapon is still beta. Look, I'll get back to you, okay? This is what I get for going with BlackBerry.
Okay, there you go.
There we go.
That's Stump Aaron and Stump Patrick. And in case you don't get it, BlackBerry is kind of in trouble these days.
Yeah.
Not the most cutting-edge technology.
You still have a BlackBerry.
Yes, I do.
Why'd you turn the audio up when I just said you still have a BlackBerry? I heard that.
We don't need to get that around. So are we about ready for our guest?
I'm looking forward to it. So right now we want to welcome in Ann Chapman. She is from Van de Bos & Chapman, a local law firm here in Portland. Now, Ann first started her practicing law in the bankruptcy field when she began work as an associate Portland bankruptcy attorney for her now partner Robert Van de Bos in 1985. Ann and Robert then formed their law partnership in 1992 and have practiced law together for more than two decades. Now, Ann, you enjoy frequent opportunities to lecture on the banking topics for the Oregon State Bar, the Oregon Institute, and the Northwest Bankruptcy Institute. You're also an avid golfer, enjoy hiking with an Oregon native, which we love, and like relaxing at home with your not an Oregon native. Oh, I have this wrong. Minnesota. Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Well, so welcome in, Ann.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. So, I obviously you're very well educated. A, you went to law school, but B, you've done a lot of speaking on the topic of bankruptcy. So I'm looking forward to our conversation here today. So why don't you kind of a brief overview of the different types of bankruptcies that are out there?
Sure. There's Chapter 7, which is what most people think of when they think of bankruptcy, which is a liquidation bankruptcy, and in most cases, over and done with within about 6 months. Those can be more complicated if you have business that's liquidating, or you have a client that has assets that they may need to purchase back from the trustee, or those assets might be liquidated by the trustee for payment to creditors.
So let me understand, Ann, is Chapter 7 strictly for individuals, or can it apply to businesses also?
Absolutely apply to businesses. Corporations, partnerships. I think the only entity that could not file a Chapter 7 bankruptcy would be a railroad.
Really? Why is that? That sounds like a ninth century law or
it's
something.
It's in the code somewhere.
Hmm.
You know, I think Warren Buffett's going to be disappointed.
That's why he just picked up some railroads last week.
Yeah.
That's why, well, not last week, a while ago.
Yeah,
maybe that's why, maybe he was anticipating some
problems. I'm going to have to rethink my monopoly strategy now that railroads
really,
can't go bankrupt.
I bought a Ford Focus. I should have bought a steam engine. Anyway.
So we have the Chapter 7, and then from there we go to
For the consumers and small business owners, Chapter 13, which is a reorganization chapter. And in that chapter, you can basically rewrite contracts with vehicle lenders, with mortgage creditors to some extent. Credit card companies typically receive not much in Chapter 13. You can impose payment schedules on the taxing authorities, get caught up on mortgage payments. So Chapter 13 is a very versatile, creative chapter.
Okay. And then from there we have Chapter 11, right?
Chapter 11 is for businesses or individuals that are larger scale, reorganizing Macy's, Eastern Airlines. Sbarro just filed Chapter 11 for the second time.
And Quiznos, too. I think they're very close. Sbarro
yes.
is the – are they mostly East
pizza.
Coast?
There's actually one, I think, in downtown at Pioneer Square.
Yeah, I think so. But, when I visit the East Coast, I see them everywhere. They're almost on every block there, kind of like Dunkin' Donuts. Now, do these laws, Ann, vary from state to state, or are they pretty much set all across the country?
Well, it's a federal bankruptcy law. So it's under Title 11 of the Bankruptcy Code. But state law does come into play in this to the extent that each state gets to decide whether or not its exemptions are going to apply in a bankruptcy proceeding, or whether it's going to let the citizens of its state utilize a federal bankruptcy petition and use federal exemptions.
So are there certain states in which it's better to have a bankruptcy than others?
Yes. For example, there are certain states like Texas that have an unlimited homestead exemption. Congress, about 10 years ago, did a major overhaul of the bankruptcy laws and have made it much more difficult for you to run from one state to another in an attempt to maximize your exemptions.
We'll pick up on that. I'm going to go buy a bolo tie and a hat because I'm
You're
going
to Texas. You're moving to Texas. You can file BK and keep your house. That's good stuff. So stay tuned. I'm excited what we have coming up here with Ann Chapman, learning about bankruptcies, the ins and the outs. This is the Aaron Coker Show here on AM 860 KPM.